This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. The University of Cincinnati's Board of Trustees selected Neville Pinto in December to be the next president of the university. He replaces former UC President Santa Ono, and Dr. Pinto was most recently interim president and engineering school dean at the University of Louisville, but he spent 26 years at UC as a faculty member and dean, and he joins us this afternoon to talk about his academic career and his plans as UC's new president. You can join our conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And good afternoon, Neville. Good to see you.
I'm glad to be here, Mark. Thanks for having me today.
Yeah, you were at UC for almost three decades. Yes. This has to just feel like a homecoming for you to be coming back now as president of the university.
I'm still pinching myself. You know, I guess it's real. I'm here. I started yesterday. I couldn't have imagined this in my best dream. So something that I feel very privileged about. I have a very long and deep connection for the university. It nurtured me in the early years of my career, and there's nothing that replaces that. So I feel very connected to the place and very excited about having been given the responsibility to lead the institution.
You were a professor early in your career.
That's correct, yes.
How often do you see that, where a professor is able to rise to an administrative position, especially to rise to being the president of a university?
I haven't checked. Most university administrators, most presidents or many presidents are academics.
Okay.
So they do follow that path. I think it's less usual to have someone from an institution rise to be its president, and I think even less common for someone to actually leave the institution and then come back. So I was very fortunate.
Now, yesterday was your first day on your first full day on the job?
Absolutely, the first full day.
How did that go? What was that like?
It was terrific. It was very intense. In fact, at a Board of Trustees meeting this morning, I described it. I pulled up, you know, we have a parking spot right up there on just off Clifton Avenue. And, you know, I sort of when I pulled up, I hesitated because I didn't want to pull into the president's parking spot. You know, having been there that long, I've seen some of the great leaders of the university park there, and I wouldn't ever dare park there. And I joked about, you know, pulling in and thinking I'm going to get a ticket for pulling in here. But it was sort of an important moment that it was the start of what I hope is a long tenure at the university as its president, and one that hopefully will accomplish a great deal for our students.
That's funny, though. You pulled in and you realized, wait a minute, I am the president now. What is your leadership style going to be like? How would you describe that?
You know, I've been asked that in a number of different ways, and this really connects back to who I am and my origins in academia. I don't have a degree in management. I don't have a degree in leadership, so I'm not formally educated in that respect. But what I have found is that the environment at a university where – you know, we are, particularly in a research university, where you're charged with building an area of research and scholarship. And to do that, your team is a group of graduate students and in some cases some undergraduate students and maybe some postdoctoral students. And that's the type of team that I have led in the past. That's the origins of my experience in leadership. And to me, what that does is it teaches a leader to be incredibly collaborative, to trust team members, and to lead by example. So I've been thinking long and hard about sort of where I've picked up some of the habits I've picked up and some of the ideas I have on leadership. And I finally resolved that much of it has come from those multiple decades that I spent leading graduate student teams.
I've heard that you're a good listener. How important is that going to be, having that skill?
It's there's probably nothing more important than that, quite frankly. It's you have, you know, at a university, you have the advantage of having a collection, a high density of very, very bright people. as a leader, you recognize very quickly that that's an enormous, enormous well of good ideas, good suggestions, and also, you know, very good critical thinking. And so listening to people seriously is very important. And I think you become a better leader for it at a university.
Now, your background, science, technology, engineering. So obviously all those things are going to be important
right.
during your tenure. And what about the humanities and social sciences? How important are those going to be at UC?
Right. So, you know, we have to look at the origins of universities. And the origins of universities, and I won't go sort of into a long story about that, but just if you think about what is at the core of a university, it's really liberal education. And a college of arts, humanities, and sciences is usually the building block for universities like ours. And to me, that says a lot. It's really about being educated in a way that makes you a responsible citizen. That's what universities do. Along the way, you may pick up a skill in a profession. But to me, that's secondary. It's really your ability to think critically, you communicate effectively, be aware of what was done, has been done in the past in our history, understand what the cultural norms are, things of that nature that really make an educated individual. And I could go on and on about that. But to me, it's about education more than about training. And so when I think about that, you know, when we think about our society and the importance of the arts and the humanities to all of us and the quality of our lives, I mean, there is a little more than I can say in terms of its significance. Let me give you an example, actually, about something that is very related. You know, I've been involved in engineering all my life. But when we think now of engineering products, we understand that when there is a consumer who is looking at a product, they're not just looking at its functionality, but they're looking at its aesthetics. And what that means is that we need to bring in people who are familiar with the arts, you know, to help us design products that in the past were hardcore engineering products. So even in my own field, there is a very real appreciation for the value of the arts and the different style of thinking that then merges with sort of the more scientific approach, and the whole becomes so much better.
Yeah, when you were the acting president at the yeah. University of Louisville, it was important to you that you connected the university with the business community.
Yeah.
And I know one of the things that you developed was the new product accelerator
right.
with GE Appliances that was called First Build.
That's correct.
UC's got a similar program that's getting underway that's right. called the 1819 Innovation Hub.
Mm-hmm.
How important is that hub going to be to UC's future?
I think it's a very, very exciting opportunity. And, you know, so pleased. A lot has changed since I left. And one of the very significant changes is where that initiative has gone. It was really when I left about 5.5 years ago, the whole concept was really at its inception. And it's really nice to see what it's evolved into. I see that as one of the more promising opportunities that we have at the university to do a few things. But one most importantly is to show how universities can connect in a different way with our community, particularly our city in this case and the industry in our city. And show that collaboration actually could be mutually beneficial in many ways. You know, we're in a knowledge economy. And in a knowledge economy, ideas matter. And the cross-pollination of ideas from people from different disciplines, from different experiences, is what we're seeing as being the most productive type of collaboration and interaction. So if we provide environments, and that's basically what the 1819 building is going to do, provide an environment or an ecosystem in which that will attract folks who are creative and innovative and from many different disciplines. So it's going to be very interdisciplinary to work and solve problems and come up with new ideas in a common space. And we hope that will advantage not just us, but advantage our community members who partner with us.
I am talking with Neville Pinto. He's the new president of the University of Cincinnati. And you can join us by calling 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Neville, what do you think is the main role for a university president these days?
You know, the presidency of university has changed over my time at the universities, but one thing has remained constant, and that's the importance of a president to think about the future of the student. This is the one role, one position in the university where an administrative or an academic leader can affect every aspect of a student's life. Because a president has the authority over, for example, the housing, the type of meals that the students have available, certainly the academics, other experiences in the community, can make the right connections. So it's really about the opportunity to lead with a student in mind, because this is the one time, actually, even though I've dealt with students my whole life, this is the one time I can impact almost every aspect of their life on campus.
What's your relationship with the students going to be like?
I hope it continues what it has been all these decades. You know, I really enjoy the interaction with students. If you think about it, it's when you think about traditional students, you know, the sort of the majority age group on a university campus is somewhere between 18 and 22. And it always remains constant. And that's the most optimistic and energetic and idealistic segment of our society. And we as professors, even as we get older, every morning when we wake up and we go to the campus, we benefit from that energy and optimism. I mean, it's just a tremendous privilege to be on campus. So I've always enjoyed it. It invigorates me. It energizes me. And, you know, I know it'll continue to do that as I lead this institution.
You talked about we as professors. So you still view yourself as being an educator.
I have never changed that. That's my roots, and that's who I am. I'm a professor first who happens to be an administrator, who has happened to be an administrator for the past 15 years. But I am a professor first.
Yes. What about your relationship with staff and faculty?
At the University of Cincinnati? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm on my second day, so I haven't made any decisions yet. So far it's really good. But I've been just welcomed with open arms. I've received a lot of emails. I walked across campus today and yesterday, and I've met some old friends. I've met some new faculty members who joined since I had left. I think the relationship is strong. It's very positive, and I look forward to building from there.
Mm-hmm. Santa Ono was pretty much a personality around town, mm-hmm. Yeah, and you've got your own style.
Yeah.
And people will probably make comparisons, so I'm wondering how you'll deal with that.
So I don't know if you know this, but I knew him. I worked for him for a year. So he when he came in as provost, I was vice provost, and I led the graduate school at that time. And so I had the opportunity to work for him for a year. So I know him well, and we've continued to stay in touch. And he's done a terrific job at this university, particularly elevating its reputation nationally. And it was always good when I was in Louisville to hear the news about UC and, you know, the positive things that were happening here. He and I obviously are different people, and, we each have our styles. But we have one thing in common, I think, which is our interest in engaging with students. And so I think that'll continue. My style will be different. I know he tweeted a whole lot. I tweet as well, but not quite the level that he did. But I like to speak to people. I like to meet people and speak to new people and get to know them. And so I have some of that old style of interaction. I really enjoy that. And, you know, it goes back to what I said earlier when I talked to you about being invigorated by all that energy, optimism, enthusiasm that young people have and they bring to campus. That's what I'm looking for.
Now, do you have any plans to meet with other university presidents around town, share ideas, and collaborate?
Absolutely, absolutely. We, you know, our partners not just around in the city, but also around the state. There's been actually, certainly we, you know, I look forward to meeting Father Graham and establishing a relationship with him. These are two great universities in the city, and then there are other institutions for the one across the river at Northern Kentucky University. So all of these, we certainly all have a part to play in educating folks in this city and in the region, and I look forward to partnering with them. Also, as a state institution, I'm looking forward to partnering with university presidents across the state. In fact, I had conversations already with the state chancellor for higher education, and I called him yesterday to express my interest in getting to meet him and also learn of the priorities the state has for the university. So, yes, I'm looking forward to doing that.
How fortunate is this area? I mean, you just named off all these institutions that we have, these very good colleges and universities. And if you go outside of just the greater Cincinnati area, I mean, you have Miami University, University of Dayton. Right. We're pretty fortunate educationally.
We really are. We're blessed to have institutions of such high caliber and quality and diversity just in this region. And students have terrific choices. And you know, I hope all these bright young people graduating from our high schools here will look at these very carefully and consider them, because we want to make sure that they stay here and that we get the opportunity to educate them.
How important is higher education these days?
You know, I could put it this way. It's hard to meet a parent anywhere that will say, I don't really want to send my kid to college. That says a lot. Mm-hmm. And again, going back to, you know, what I talked about earlier, we're in a knowledge economy. Knowledge is the currency for success. I don't think there's ever been a more important time for a university education. I know we have challenges ahead. You know, it's the cost of education is one of the challenges that we have to face collectively as a community. But there is no alternative. It's the human intellect is what has driven our human society forward, and it will continue to do so. And as we develop, you know, our understanding of our world, as we understand our society better, as we try to collectively as a race, as a human race, try to improve the experiences for all of us, that's when that requires knowledge. That requires people with strong thinking skills, empathy, strong appreciation for the importance of all of this. So that actually is those are the fundamental reasons for having an educated populace. And then it's also, you know, sort of it's the building block for a successful democracy, quite frankly. And so it's important from just about every respect.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the over the past few decades, colleges have moved to being more of career development training type places. And it sounds to me like you're still a big fan of the liberal arts education.
I'm not sure I would agree with the statement that we've moved to more of a career training. Mm-hmm. I think there is sort of an urgency, you know, that is driven by economic needs. And there is a real need there. And so I don't want to minimize that. There is a real need for workforce in certain areas. But when we think in terms of the workforce, no one is saying that workforce shouldn't be highly educated. And so this is the difference between having someone with just a set of skills. And now I'm talking more about education at the baccalaureate and level and higher, because that's what our institution has focused on primarily. But it's about developing a workforce that is also going to be a strong base for our democracy and for our society. So it's both. There is no question. We have to be competitive. So we have to have people with the right skills. In fact, I'm in a field that is favored now. But my argument is, while that's important and we have to continue to strengthen that, that doesn't minimize the importance of other areas. And it certainly reinforces the need for educated individuals. I mean, my own career, since I moved from Cincinnati to Louisville, I haven't had the opportunity to do any engineering because when I moved there, I had to give up my research. So I'm an engineer. I'm not doing any engineering right now. So, you know, all of the principles and all the hard work I did in understanding engineering appears to be of little relevance right now. But I would say that it is actually directly relevant to what I'm doing, because what it taught me was how to think, how to solve problems, and how to deal with people and how to communicate. That's what it did. That's what a university education did for me, and that's what it does year in and year out for our students.
So what are some of your priorities going to be moving forward for UC?
So, it's very tempting to immediately come in and say, you know, and take action and say, you know, we're going to do A, B, C, D, and so on. I have realized from the years that I've been leading units of various sizes, from very small to now, about as large as you can get, that it's important to listen. This is what we talked about earlier. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go out to the campus and listen, catch up on what's going on, because a lot has happened in the 5 years. A lot positive has happened in the 5 years, and there are a lot of opportunities that perhaps we could take advantage of now. So I'm going to be listening. I'm going to be looking to see what the campus has focused on in these past 5 years, what the aspirations are, and then set priorities. That having been said, when you're in a university environment, you know that certain things will bubble up to the top immediately. And I like to characterize one on the education side as student success. To me, student success is an important phrase. It captures what we're trying to accomplish. And this goes back to having educated individuals in our society. So when we bring in a bright high school student, how are we doing with that student in educating the student, getting them out on time, and then making sure that there is a demand in society for them? That's student success. It's all, and that actually includes the experience on campus. Do they have a really diverse and complete experience on campus? Are they meeting folks from different backgrounds so they're ready for this global environment in which they're going to graduate? Are they challenged in their thinking? Are they involved in the politics at that level? Are they involved? Do they really care? All of that is really important. So student success is incredibly important. The other aspect is research. You know, we are a research university. And I think, you know, probably most people know that here in the city, but do they really understand what that means? There's over 4,000 colleges and universities in the country. There are only 115 of these that are called Carnegie Research Universities. That's the absolute cream of the crop. We in the city of Cincinnati are blessed to have one, because those who preceded us had the vision to build it into a research university. So research and scholarship is the foundation of a good education for our students, because it attracts the very best faculty to our campus. So those two are important. And then the third one is we are part of the city. And to me, there's an enormous opportunity to use that intellectual capacity that we have to address the issues of Cincinnati. So we have to connect to our city in a different way. We have to engage our communities and use our intellectual capacity to solve the issues of the day in the city of Cincinnati. So I see those three as bubbling up to the top as sort of the big goals.
Neville, thank you so much for joining me this afternoon.
Mark.
University of Cincinnati President Neville Pinto